Hello. Hi, good morning, everybody. Today we're going to be going through one Lent, hearing the word. And today we're going to be covering Matthew chapter 12. We're going to read from 1 to 21. But before I do that, let me just open up in prayer. Father, Lord, we give thanks for this morning to come to your house, to start the day in your word, Lord. And would you just speak to us through the verse, just any insight, even as we hear the scripture being read, that it would, something would stand out and touch us, Lord. Give us some sort of direction. And so just we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and minister to us this morning. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so starting at Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read when David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal, like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all, and warned them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope." Amen. Okay. So in this, in these verses, the subject that becomes apparent is Sabbath. And Sabbath, I guess, if you are really to look at the rules, and if you know, according to not just the law, but then the oral law, that I guess it's kind of like the oral law is you're trying to understand the law that was presented. And so the oral law is, okay, let's be practical. It's not so different from, I guess, you know, Sunday service. And they try to, with the oral law, put into practice the law. Like, okay, so let's think. In this circumstance or this situation, how do we apply the law? But, which is not a bad thing, right? It's a good thing to think, oh, how do we apply the law? But they came up with I guess, all these kind of gray-ish rules of how to apply it, and it became really stringent in terms of what you could and could not do, especially when it came to Sabbath, to the extent even now, like as you probably might have, if you've ever visited Israel and you've seen, they have special elevators, because if you press a button on the elevator, it could cause a spark. And if it causes that spark, like if it malfunctions and causes a spark, that's like creating fire, which is considered something you would not do to create work on a Sunday. And so in Israel, they have these special Shabbat, Sabbath elevators that you don't have to press the button. All you have to do is go in, and it stops on every single floor. So it's very time-consuming. But as a result, technically, there's no chance of you pressing the button in the offhand, it'll create a spark. And so you can see they take Sabbath very seriously, even now. And so one of the things that... there's two things that get challenged. One is the disciples are hungry. And so they pick the heads off the grain as they're walking by and eat it. And I guess that act of picking the head off the grain is what you would normally do during the week to, I guess, reap when you're collecting, I guess, the grain and farming. So it would be considered work. And the disciples, they were hungry and they picked up the grain. And then, of course, the Pharisees caught on to that. Aha! Caught you! Look, what are your disciples doing? How can you not, I guess, rebuke them? And let me ask you a question. What is the purpose of Sabbath? Well, I guess no one's going to answer, but the point of Sabbath, right, is to rest. Thank you, Ben. Very good. We know that God rested on the seventh day. He enjoyed his creation, right? And that, I guess, is what we model Sabbath of. It's like we rest and we enjoy God, and thus we do worship. Rest and enjoy. And let me ask you, what the disciples did, they're hungry, right? They're having a walk and there's some food and they pick it up to eat. Did that hinder their rest in any way? No. In fact, you could think them not grabbing, like, you're so hungry, they're hangry, right? And them not taking the food would probably hinder their rest. And so if the spirit, again, it's always, what is the spirit of Sabbath? If it's to rest, them grabbing some food on the way to eat does not hinder. I think for most of us, we all eat lunch, right? We have a regular meal. So this one probably doesn't stumble us so much. The second example that becomes apparent is Jesus heals on Sabbath. And then Jesus, he's bold, right? Because the Pharisees just confronted him about the disciples. Then he goes on to heal again on Sabbath in front of a synagogue of all places. So it's like just asking for it. But I guess the point is, Jesus is very intentional. He's trying to make a point. And same thing. I guess it's like if the spirit of Sabbath is to really rest and also worship him, like what happens when Jesus heals? When he heals, I'm sure everyone, what happens to the person who's being healed? Oh, he's going to glorify God. Everyone who witnesses this, they glorify God. And I guess even for us, like on a Sunday service, if someone gets healed, everyone's just going to start worshiping and glorifying God. In fact, we would be, oh, if God heals on a Sunday service, that would be amazing, right? Because we know what is the response of the people. They're gonna worship him. Like, wow, God, you're amazing. You did this amazing thing. And so you can see, sometimes the problem is with the Pharisees, they're so fixated on Sabbath and the rule. This is what you can and cannot do. And notice they're especially critical, not of themselves, but of others. And they haven't really even thought through of, okay, what just happened? Does it actually hinder the spirit of Sabbath to rest and, I guess, to glorify God? And in these two instances, I can say it really didn't. And so we kind of need to take that approach. What is the spirit of not just Sabbath, but everything that God teaches, everything that Jesus teaches? But we don't want to go too far the other side either. We're like, oh, since, you know, clearly, like, the disciples were able to, I guess, work by, like, gleaning and eating on Sabbath, it's fine if I just work on Sunday. Oh, what's the big deal? Let's not be legalistic. I'll just go into the office for a few hours. The difference is, again, you look at the spirit of it. You going to the office for a few hours, okay, again, it's not the end of the world, but if you really want to honor Sabbath, right, does that hinder your rest? On one day a week, like that, you still have to be so fixated and not, and still so engaged in your work. It pulls you away from, like, the one day where you can just spend time with people, your family, do relationship, come to church, right? Is that good for you, right? And I think even secularly now, people are so promoting, like, mental health balance, work-life balance. Even the world almost sees the value of rest. I think even more so as Christians, we need to rest because that was instructed of us. And it's not just to rest, but it's also to worship the Lord. So I'd like to invite worship. Now we can worship together. And even now, like when we worship, we can just go before the Lord. And you know, for us, Sabbath is not necessarily just on Sunday. I think it's really healthy to set Sunday apart. But, you know, where we can respond to the Lord in worship and trust, because that's what Sabbath is, the reflection that we trust God, and so we don't have to toil and work nonstop. We can trust him that he's going to take care of us, do the work for us. And so, but we can do that actually daily, always. And so as we worship, let's just really offer this worship up to him because we can trust the Lord.
Your feet.
Intercessory prayer on the One app. Dear Heavenly Father, we believe that you will continue to take care of us with your love and truth, as well as to shower your mercy and grace upon the campus. We pray that you will provide this school with all its needs and grant all teachers and administrators a healthy body, a noble mind, and the motivation to press forward. Lord, please watch over us and have mercy on our weakness and transgressions. Here on campus, students are not the only ones who are weak. Even as teachers, we also need your mercy and grace. You command us to forgive and accept others. Help us learn to forgive each other in the grace of forgiveness and then work together in anticipation of the renewal of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How we hope that our campus will become a place where your name will be glorified. In the name of the Lord, amen.